This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon, and thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome, welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. A very happy and beautiful Tuesday to you. Well, we've got a very important show for you today, and I want to set it up by asking you to picture yourself in the boat with the disciples, with Peter. All right, the waves are splashing against the boat. The wind is messing up your hair, and they're threatening a storm. You know, you see the clouds kind of looming. And suddenly you see somebody walking on the water, and the rest of the guys in the boat think it's a ghost. And then you got Peter saying, "Lord, if that's you, call me out. Call me out." Well, I don't know about you, but I think I have the spiritual gift of suspicion. Because when I first read that, I thought, no way, Peter. Everybody else thinks this is a ghost. And let's just go with the ghost theory for a minute. What if it was a bunch of ghosts trying to get these guys to get into the freak out zone? And so the one ghost elbows the other and says, "Okay, let's go with this. Yeah, Peter, it's me, Jesus. Come on out. Watch this." And they watch him sink. Well, guess what? I was reading a commentary on this story. Dr. Warren Wiersbe is one of my favorites. I love his commentaries. And he said, actually, when Peter said, "Lord, call me out. If it's you, call me out," what he said was, "Master, if it's you, bid me come." And you know what that means? It means the command of a king. So he was appealing to royalty. So when he was saying, "Bid me come," he was saying, "King, if you call me out, I know you're going to hold me up, because where you guide, you provide." And so he knew who he was talking to. And so he dared to go from a kind of a dangerous situation to a more dangerous situation, and then he participated in a miracle. I think that's absolutely amazing. And often when I'm speaking at conferences and retreats, I ask women, how big is your yes? How big is your yes? Because the extent that you give him your yes will be to the extent that you see him work in and through your life. He's able to do above and beyond all you could ever dare to ask or think. He's able. He wants to. But it's according to his work within you. So how big is your yes? That's what we're talking about today, the gospel of yes. In fact, my guest today says that we've missed the most important thing about God, and finding it changes everything. And this is what he asks. He says, are you convinced that God limits you or liberates you? Is he more interested in correcting you or connecting with you? When you live in God's yes, you find your true identity, your true value, and your unique purpose on this earth, which is really why he made you. My guest today is the author of the book, The Gospel of Yes. His name is Mike Glenn. Let me tell you about him, and we're going to get him on the show. Mike Glenn is a senior pastor in Brentwood, Tennessee. He's a gifted communicator and understands the big ideas of theology, but can break them down for people to use in places right where they live. He helps them find identity and the meaning in God's yes. He's a graduate of Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, and Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He and his wife, Jeannie, have two married sons, and you can learn more about him on the web at MikeGlennOnline.com. Glenn, welcome to the, I keep wanting to call you Glenn because I want to say Pastor Glenn. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susie. Good
Bless
to be
your heart.
With you.
Good to have you with us. Well, we always start out our talks talking scripture. I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind talking to us about the wonderful passage, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Love that passage. Talk to us about that verse.
That has become one of my favorite verses in all of scripture. I love the invitation from God to be part of a conversation where he will open up things that we want to know but dare not ask.
Hmm.
And the willingness of God to be involved in this kind of journey of discovery with us. Let me show you. Let me open up for you. Let me explain to you. Let me make real for you these things that you want to know about, and we'll do that together.
That's so good. You know, I have three sons myself. They're all grown. But there was one that was especially inquisitive, and he would be the one to come back and sit on my lap and ask me all the why questions about
right.
life. And he would be the one around the table go, oh, I got that. I know that. And the brothers would be like, well, how do you know that? But they were running circles around everything. You know what
yeah.
I mean? But
mm-hmm.
he was the one
mm-hmm.
who crawled up on my lap and said, why? Mm-hmm. Why are the leaves green, Mom? And, you know, and there is something to be said about that invitation to come to the Lord and inquire of him, isn't there?
Hmm. And the things that he'll tell us about ourselves, the things that he'll tell us about himself, about our world, that happens only in that conversation.
So good. Well, the Gospel of Yes, I love it. I love the whole idea of the title. Tell us about your inspiration behind the book.
Well, I grew up, like a lot of us, in a church where I was told what not to do every Sunday. Mm. And so we would get together every Sunday and be told, these are the things that you do not do. And then the next Sunday we'd get together and praise God we hadn't done anything.
Hallelujah.
You know, the whole Christian experience and the whole thing of being a disciple was, could you avoid doing wrong things? And we were given this long list, but you soon find out that living against isn't enough. Being against one thing doesn't necessarily make you for the other thing. I'm the firstborn. I'm a type A personality. I'm eager to please. I was doing all the right things. I was staying away from all those things I was supposed to stay away from. But if you just stay at it long enough, sooner or later, life will ask you a question and you can't make the points add up. Mm. You see, for a lot of us, Christianity is about points. If you do a good deed, you get so many points. If you go to church, you get so many points. If you do a bad thing, then you lose points. And so the easiest way to keep from losing points is not to try anything.
We're living by fear. Yeah.
And you're always trying to get points, kind of like spiritual frequent flyer miles. And then I'll have enough to cash in. But there came a time when I was pastoring a church. I was doing everything I was supposed to do, and I was fried. I was done, and was off at a prayer time, a spiritual retreat for me. And I just kind of put it out there to the Lord in prayer that I'm done. I can't do anymore, and I'm afraid I've failed, and maybe I'm in the wrong thing. And after spending a day of waiting, I heard two sentences from the Lord. One was, why don't you relax and be who I made you to be? And why don't you let the church relax and be who I made her to be? Besides my salvation experience, the most liberating thing that I've ever heard. Mm. The funny thing about it was, I didn't know who I was supposed to be. Mm. I'd always been told who not to be. But nobody had ever told me who I was supposed to be. So that started this whole journey of who am I? Why did God make me like he made me? What gifts did he give me? What am I supposed to be doing? And what can I only do, given the community that I serve and the gifts that I have? And where do I need to be spending my time? And then what do I need to let go of?
You know, Pastor Glenn, I thought it was so interesting how that started to bring you on this journey of kind of taking inventory of what you're good at and what you're not. And you had a friend tell you, when you're at administrative meetings, you don't make things better. In fact, you make things worse. That's a friend right there.
And that was a good friend, believe it or not, who looked at me and he said,
do us a favor.
You hurt the church when you hear. You hurt us.
Yeah.
You don't help us. You hurt us. You're actually better if you're not here.
Mm. But I love you, brother. I love you.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, and this is the one of the strong things about knowing your yes, if you understand how you're gifted and how you're wired, it's okay to say, I have this gift that I can use for the body. And it's okay to be in a meeting and say, I don't have that gift. And it would be wrong for me to do that because I'm not gifted that way. Mm. You know, and you think you're being brave and modest and humble, and everybody else in the meeting knows it anyway.
Mm. That secretly you don't have cheering, probably.
So, and they're secretly saying, oh, thank goodness.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't have to tell him.
Yeah. He said yes to me. I prayed.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of that passage. You reference it in your book as well, Matthew 5:37, and I saw it in a new light. All you need to say is simply yes or no. But the second part is what jumped out at me. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And I thought,
right.
If you really don't know your yes or no, then your yes and no, you surrender to the enemy, and he hopes to use our yeses and nos against us by our fear of man and our fear of failure. So I want you to unpack that verse, and let's camp on that a little bit.
like with most of the teachings of Jesus, I found this to be kind of hiding in plain sight. I knew that verse. I knew that verse when I was a kid. It was the proof text of cursing. You know, you don't use bad language because Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything other than that is evil. Well, that to me, even as a little kid, was like, whoa, that's kind of like getting the death penalty for jaywalking, isn't it? you hit your hand with a hammer and you say yes, or you don't say yes and you don't say no. And then all of a sudden you're condemned as being evil. But if you put the emphasis on the person, let your yes be yes and your no be no, then anything other than that is simply wrong. We do that with the verse in Proverbs about raising up a child in the way. But what if the verse is different and it says, raise up a child in the way that he should go? And so as parents, we become stewards of our children and helping our children find their way, the unique way that God made them, and help them find their yes. So what happens if I sit in prayer time in front of the Lord and say, who am I? Tell me who I am. Most of us don't allow the Lord to name us, and so we go to the world and tell the world to name us. And the world names us in devastating ways.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about when Jesus names you is he gives you a title that you don't yet fit.
Oh, that's good.
See, the world will give you a title or an award when you earn it. We'll call you champion when you win the prize or all of that. Jesus comes to you and calls you who you will yet be. He goes to Simon and says, you are now Peter. But Peter wasn't the rock yet. He was still Simon, but he would grow into the rock.
And David was anointed a king.
David was anointed a king when he wasn't king, and nobody knew about him. Abram was the father of a great nation when he wasn't a father at all.
Sarah was a mother of great nation when she was barren.
Exactly right. Mary blessed and chosen when she had no idea what God was doing in her life. So Jesus comes to you and says, this is who you are. This is who I created you to be. And that's your yes of identity. This is who I am in Christ. I know I am loved. I know I was created on purpose. I bear the image of God. I tell people when I preach, bearing the image of God is like having the signature of the artist that makes the piece of art worth all the money that it's worth because it's signed by the artist. And we, being bearers of the image, have been divinely signed by the one who created us. My friends in real estate say you can't tell what something is worth until somebody pays something for it. On the day when the world demanded a price for us, God paid for us with his only son. That's how much you're worth.
Yeah. So
this is who you are. This is how much you're worth. And when you get that down in your bones, when you know this is who I am, this is what I am worth, then you can live out of the freedom of knowing that I don't have to manipulate anybody else or do anything to get what God has already given me.
You know, Pastor Glenn, this feels so deeply important that we understand our identity and the yes that God's written over our lives. I often tell women, when you get a sense of the vision for your life, you say no to other things so you can say yes to the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going back to this verse, let your yes be yes, no be no, all else is from the evil one. If you don't get really who you are and you loosely hand away, yes, I'll serve on that committee so I can feel like I'm worth something. No,
right.
I'm not going to attempt that mountain because I don't want to fail. Talk about the ripple effect of really wrongly handing these things over to the enemy and missing out on God's yes. I mean, there's consequence when we live in the fear of man, fear of failure, which are from the evil one, when you give your yeses and nos away to him.
When you start living out of the no.
Yeah.
Rather than the yes. And you do things like you try to certain types of behavior. You try to do certain things that are out of your skill set or out of just outside of what the Lord would desire for you to try to prove to people that you're worth something. So you fudge your resume. You know, you tell the story bigger than it was because the thing for you is to be impressive or to be accepted by your friends rather than just knowing this is who you are and being accepted by that. The relationships are inauthentic. because you're always trying to manipulate people to give you what you think you need, rather than allowing. Once you know your yes, I can allow you to be you. And the thing that happened in my immediate life was it transformed my marriage. I had a great marriage. I tell people, if you had asked me, I would tell you I had a 10 of a marriage. What I found out was God has a lot more numbers besides 10.
Praise the Lord.
I was bragging. I have a 10. And Jesus was going, poor Mike, he's only got a 10. I've got 200 and 300 and 400. I had no idea.
Tell me how you found it. Tell me this.
Well,
and I want to know two things, if you wouldn't mind. How you found your yes, but how it really specifically impacted your marriage.
Okay. Two things. Most of the time you have to find your yes in the context of a church family. Because your gifts are easy for you, because it's natural, you don't see anything special about them. You think that's the way everybody does it. So when I read a passage of Scripture and then teach it, I think that's the way everybody sees it, because it's that obvious to me. The church comes to me and says, you can teach. We want you to teach. We want you to spend your time preparing to teach and not doing anything else. Okay, I don't see anything special about that. That's just what I do. It's the way I'm wired. I can't see it any other way. Most of the time, it has to happen in context of a small group where somebody will say, hey, you're good at this. You need to work on this gift, or you have this potential you need to develop, and that kind of stuff. Families do that best when the mom and dad focus on the child and call out the gift sets of the child and call out the destiny of the child. With so many broken families now, the church, again, is having to step in this role with small groups and reparent children and help folks grow into their destiny, remind them that they are treasured by the Father and adored by the one who created them and created on purpose for a purpose, and then help them find that destiny. Most of the time, it takes some kind of process of a church community around you, and that's where small groups do their best work. But what happened was once I began to understand, hey, I'm okay, and I don't need Jeannie. I want her, my wife, and I'm free to let her be who she is, without trying to manipulate her or any game playing. She can be who she is, how the Father created her, and how the Lord desires her to be. One time I was praying for Jeannie, and the Lord reminded me that Jeannie is one of his favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been entrusted by him with her.
I love that.
And as a steward, see, Adam was steward first before he was given Eve.
Mm.
I am a steward of my wife. I have been entrusted to her, with her, to develop her into the full person that Christ created her to be. I get to partner with Christ in making sure Jeannie, my wife of 32 years, is everything Christ called her to be.
That is so wonderful. I asked my husband the other day, been married 27 years. I said, how are you today? And he goes, you know, it's a great day to be Kevin. And I thought, there's a man who's comfortable in his own skin. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, just in case you just tuned in, I want to let you know I'm talking to author and pastor Mike Glenn about his new book, The Gospel of Yes. You're going to love this book. We've missed the most important thing about God. Finding it changes everything. We've got a handful of copies to give away. If you've got a question or comment, we'd love for you to chime into the conversation. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me during the show, Susie@faithradionet.com. The first five of you to either email or call, you'll get a copy of Mike's book. You know, a gal just posted this on my blog today, and I thought this is right in line with what we're talking about. She said, Albert Einstein said this, everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll live its whole life believing that it's stupid. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, we're all made in the image of God. And I love what you said, that sometimes people aren't getting those messages in their family. How can the church present a culture that can speak life and destiny into its members?
The early church understood this because, and even in some cultures today, when you become a Christian, you are thrown out of your family. And so the church becomes your family. The terms brothers and sister were very intentional because they defined for us new relationships. This is now who are my brothers and sisters. Those who do the will of the Father are my family. So when we come in as new Christians, we are babies, which means we need to have mature believers adopt us in the faith. And I was very fortunate in my life that I've had great Christian friends become parents and grandparents, uncles and aunts, all and cousins, all in the faith. And the one thing that they do is, one, they love you without hesitation or without limit. You know, grandparents are in the life of the child to spoil that child. That's their role. This is the most beautiful baby ever. You're the smartest kid ever. You know,
I can't wait.
That's what grandparents do, because the world takes it out of them.
Mm.
Okay, but it's the role of the grandparent to keep putting it back in there, and it's the role of the church to take this young believer aside and say, now remember, you were created in the image of God. You're worth more than we can tell you.
Mm.
And when you begin to understand that, then you live out of the confidence of your value. And you, a lot of people we see in our world live life very cheaply and give themselves away for things that don't matter. But knowing your value means that you will live very, in a different kind of power and authority coming from the blessing. And I mean that in the biblical sense of that, is that we're going to lay hands on you, we're going to call you by your name, and we're going to send you out to a destiny.
Mm.
And then as you watch that child develop, as you spend your life with that child, then you're going to notice you're good at this. This is where you need to develop. This is the talent you need to grab hold of, because God can use you in the ministry of reconciliation in this particular way.
Mm. So good.
And then release that person for the ministry, and allow them to kind of sync their life up with the way the Spirit's working in the world. And then you end up with that harvest that Jesus promised, where your work ends with 30 and 60 and 100 times harvest over. Because the Spirit is in what you're doing, and you're in what the Spirit's doing. And there's a spiritual synergy that just can't be explained.
You know, I think of, you know, Jesus saying, it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. I've mm-hmm. appointed you to bear fruit that lasts. And you see each person living out their divine call in the giftings that God has given them with the strength he provides. What a better witness of the gospel of Jesus. And I was thinking about, you know, from the outside looking in, we look like a people that are just about what we oppose, what we stand against. And
right.
just thinking
mm-hmm.
through that, Mike, and I've read a lot of articles on some of that stereotype has been from people who have left the church angry. They felt
right.
like they couldn't measure up. So don't you think part of this is because people tried to live up to the point system and got disillusioned with it?
And got disillusioned, bitter, angry. You know, we're constantly told what they're not. You know, I tell people the hardest moment for me every week is going to the grocery store and standing in line where they got, you know, the 10 most beautiful people, the 10 richest people, and I'm not on any of those lists. You know?
Were you hoping to be?
Sorry. You know, you kind of think, maybe this year I'll make
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
There's always
you
next
know?
Year.
But, yeah, but I'm never on any of those lists. And it's hard when every signal you get from the world is that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're not beautiful enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not rich enough, you're not smart enough, you're just not. And then, sadly, you come to church and you're told the same thing. You're not. Our message is different in that you are in Christ. You can be in the power of the resurrection. And once you live when you just say no, you're stuck. You don't go anywhere. What worship does is to hold up the vision of the risen Christ. And this is where the person who is in worship says, that's who I want to follow. That's who I want to be like.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I say yes to. Now, my yes means I have to take some things out of my life that don't look like Jesus. and I have to put some things into my life that he has that I don't have. So I'm trying to look more like him. As you follow him, he takes you into the world where he's working. And he'll use your talents and gifts in a way that will start the conversation about him. And in that starting of the conversation, you'll find yourself being eyeball deep in ministry.
Hmm. Yeah, boy, to join him in his work and to let him, the fact that he would allow us and invite us while we are works in progress, I marvel at that every single day. You know, that as you say, we haven't grown fully into our destiny and our calling, but in process, he still invites us and uses us. Isn't that an amazing thing when you think about it?
Always.
Hmm. Every day.
Always. But, you know, the interesting thing is we have found that the best people to reach alcoholics are other alcoholics who have come through the process and been healed. How interesting that God goes and gets sinners to reach
them. Amen. Well done. Amen. I'm talking to Pastor Mike Glenn today about his new book, Hot Off the Presses, The Gospel of Yes. We have missed the most important thing about God. Finding it changes everything. We've got a handful of copies to give away. Love to hear from you if you've got questions or comments. 877-933-2484. 1-877-933-2484. We're going to talk about the cost of yes, the blessing of yes, more talking about the gospel of yes with Mike Glenn in just a moment.
Can I hear you say yes, Lord?
Can I just say, if that song doesn't stoke your fire, your wood just might be wet. Love that song. We Will Ride. That's by the Vineyard Band. Oh, love it. 877-933-2484. Talking to Pastor Mike Glenn about his book, The Gospel of Yes. I love this book, Mike. Congratulations on this new release. Great.
Thanks.
So why do you suppose, I see the calls are coming in, we'll wait for those to get processed, but I want to know, how is it that we manage to make living in response to God's love so complicated as his people?
It's hard to measure love.
That's true.
It's easier to keep score. And most of us kind of want to know where we are, where we rate, how we rank. And so we fall into these kind of default systems. And Jesus resolutely refused to be part of that. He wouldn't rank his disciples. He didn't love anyone best. Or as a friend of mine says, Jesus loves me best because best is all he has. So we want to know some kind of proof that we've kind of earned it. And it's kind of a reverse working of the pride thing that really gets in the way.
Wow. Such a good, important message. 877-933-2484. I've got some calls and emails coming in. Susie@faithradionet.com. Jennifer's got a great question for you, calling from St. Paul. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, you know, growing up, I did not get those messages from my parents. And I'm wondering how, and I have a child now, and I'm wondering, how do I instill that in my child? You are a person of value, you know, despite your shortcomings and things like that.
Great question, Jennifer.
Well, Jennifer, first of all, being aware of it is a great step. The role of the parent is we keep coming back to this biblical understanding of stewardship. And the role of the steward was to maximize the investment of the master. Christ has created another little person. And this person, your child, is bears the image of God, and in bearing the image, bears a particular aspect of that image in their personality. So the first thing you have to do is pay attention to your child. Jeannie and I, my wife, we have twin boys. They look just alike, but they're very, very different children. And as we paid attention to them, we would see different things in their personality that would require us as parents to respond to them in different ways. You are the expert in your child. And so as you pay attention to them, there'll be things that the child does that you will need to recognize and bless. You did a good job with that. Now, we have this kind of this false thing of self-esteem where we tell the kids, hey, you're winners no matter what.
And brilliant no matter what you say.
Yeah, brilliant no matter what. And the problem is the kid knows. The child knows this is not true. So it has to be based in reality or the child will learn to distrust himself. Pray for your child, and I do not say that lightly. You know, in Baptist circles, we walk around going, I'm praying for you, and that's usually the way we say goodbye. we don't mean it.
Yeah.
But I'm serious. If during the night, during the day, when you're holding your child, while you're watching, pray for that child, and the Lord will give you insight into that child. And when you respond to who you know that child to be, the child will recognize themselves in your words. The best way we disciplined our boys was we would sit them down and we would say, this is who we know you to be. We've literally known you before you were born. We have sonogram pictures of you. And we have watched you and we know this and this about you. This behavior did not match who we know you to be.
And it calls them up.
Talk to us about why you didn't trust who you are. And why didn't you believe in yourself to continue the behavior of the child we know.
Yeah, we used to say to our boys, they've heard me say this on the show a lot, but we would say, you are too important to be making decisions like that. God has
yes.
a big plan for your life. Jennifer,
yes.
if you don't have a copy of Growing Grateful Kids, I'll also send you my copy of that. Just let Grace know, and we'll get both Mike's book and my book out to you, because I talk a lot about the blessing, how we just call out their destiny. So thank you so much. Winifred is calling from Oak Park Heights, I believe. Winifred, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate all you do. I appreciate your using scripture so much in your program. We need to hear that precious word.
Amen, sister.
And I'm enjoying about the book to today. It's very, very good.
Very good. Thank you for your call.
I'm appreciating it very much.
Thank you.
You're going to enjoy the book, Winifred. I'm glad you're getting a copy there. 877-933-2484. Before we take Janet, we're going to get to her in just a second. I've got an email, and she says, my husband is in the mindset that he's not capital N-O-T. I pray that he realizes that he is the precious child man God created him to be. But in our disagreements at home, his defense is, I'm worthless, I'm hopeless, I'm just a pile of XXX. In my frustration, I ask him not to say those things. I feel like he's slapping God in the face. It's my prayer that his mindset be changed to who God wants him to be. Any advice, Pastor Glenn?
A lot of times there's a lot of family history with that, and so you may want to kind of walk down, you know, who first told you this and what was their agenda when they told you this. And sometimes people out of their own brokenness, rather than deal with their brokenness, will want to break you. And so we get to a place where we kind of help them understand how they got this feeling. But the big thing is, does he understand what he's saying about you as his wife? See, he is saying, I'm not worth anything, but you chose him. So what's he saying about you? And maybe one of the first things to do is to say, listen, I know what you think, but what you're thinking is not accurate. Let me tell you who I see. And again, basing on cold reality, this is the man I know you to be. When we were in this moment, you did X, and that's what a real man does, and just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And keep finding those moments where you can bring truth to him. And value to him. The other thing is, the funny thing about men is they need other men in their lives. And so if you could create a conversation with mature male Christian man in their life, that would be helpful. But I would begin by saying, listen, I chose you to be my husband. Yes, you asked me, but I chose you, and here's why I chose you. And here's the man I know you to be.
Good word. And pray that he has a divine encounter with God that just overwhelms him with God's love. You know?
And do pray for him. There is something that happens when a wife prays for a husband and a husband prays for a wife that will solidify the marriage at a foundational level.
So good. All right, Janet's on hold from Minneapolis. She's got a question for you. Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and I'm really enjoying your presentation and all your shows. And I just had a question regarding if you know what you're highly skilled at and you know your talents, but that there's limitations with the economy being what it is and physical limitations, then how do you deal with that?
Reality does have a way of rearing its ugly head from time to time. We are asked, and this is one of the frustrating things about following Christ for me. I'm simply asked to say yes for right now, for the moment ahead of me. That's all I'm required to do. We follow Jesus. Jesus said, "Come follow me," and it was walking. It wasn't running. It was walking. It was one step after another. Sometimes the limitations are enforced on us. Sometimes the limitations are things that we have to adapt to. Sometimes the limitations will be changed or transformed once we learn to trust in this moment. So the saying of the yes is Christ says yes to us. We respond with our yes to him. And it's for every moment of every day, step by step.
And he's so aware of the roadblocks and obstacles.
Right.
In fact, you say in the book, even his no's are yeses. In fact, I asked on Facebook, you know, in what ways has God said yes to you? And one played right into one of your chapters. A gal that I'm mentoring said, well, he said a no to the things that were the desires of my heart so that he could say yes to the greater call on my life. And truly,
right,
her desire was to adopt a couple of kids, and it turned into foster care, which turned into adoption, and she's now launched a national ministry to the foster care system that is so much bigger than she is. Her head is spinning. She's like, I wasn't dreaming big enough. And so I want you to talk about that how even his no's are his yeses because he's for us.
We forget that it is the banks of the river that give the river its power. It is the limitations that God places on the river that give the river its power. And it is the freedom to say yes to the moment that he's called you to. For instance, you know, 32 years ago, I asked Jeannie to marry me. I said yes to her, and it's no to everybody else. That's not a limit. That is a freedom to spend my entire attention on Jeannie, and Jeannie to spend her entire attention on me. So that when we have that yes, there are channels. There are no's on either side that keep us focused on the ultimate yes.
That's so good. All right, we've got, I think the name is Courage here, calling from Brooklyn Park, and it's got a comment for you today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Pastor, I just want to praise God for you, first of all, for the encouragement and the word that he has placed into your spirit that connected with my spirit. And that word is when you said, I was driving a couple of minutes ago when you said that the Lord told you or the Lord trusted you with your wife. And all that wife can be, God have trusted you. I was just saying to our host that a couple of years ago I was in San Diego at a pastor gathering. And in my hotel room, as I started to pray for my family, the Lord deposited the same thing into my spirit when he said to me, courage the family that you have. I trust you with that family. And the word came over and over, I trust you with that family. And I said, Lord, since you trust me this much, give me all the grace that I need so that I will not disappoint you. And everywhere that I went is that message that I continue to tell men and women that are in Christ. Even though the word is in 50% of all marriages are failing, but God trusts us so much that he gave us, the partner that he gave us. And so no matter what we may be going through, there is that trust that God has given to us, and we can say to God, Lord, I will not disappoint you. Even if the word don't believe that marriage is real, even if the world don't believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, I still trust you, Lord, that you trusted me to give me the family that you gave me.
Courage.
And I bless God so much that we could connect on that.
You are a pastor and a preacher, and what a man. I love what you had to say. Good word. Do you want to comment, Mike, at all?
Well, the interesting thing is when most of the time we go into the relationship thinking, how can this person make me happy? Or what can this person do to make my life better? And then we begin to judge them by how happy I am in any given moment. You know, Jeannie's a good wife if I'm happy today. If I'm not happy, then she's a bad wife. But the teachings of Jesus are true even in your marriage. It's in losing your life that you find it. It is in giving that you receive. When you begin to focus on her as a steward, okay, my calling of God is to maximize the person that God created her to be, then in ways you can't even that you wouldn't have had the courage to ask for if you had known they were available, she will respond to you out of the love that you have for her. You know, Paul says, love your wives the same way that Jesus loved the church. When Jesus died for the church, he laid his life down for the church. And when the wife sees her husband laying her life, his life down for her, then she's free to respond without hesitation with an energy and a life force that she's been protecting because she didn't know if she was safe in a relationship. But when she sees you lay your life down like that, then she knows she's safe and she responds and you start trying to outlove each other.
Mm.
Which you can't do because you always end up with more than you have. And then you create this, and you know this. There was a family on your block growing up where all the kids ended up, right?
Yep, that was our house.
Because mom loved dad, and dad loved mom, and the parents loved the kids, and they created this whirlpool. And if you got close to that whirlpool, you get sucked in it too.
Mm. You know, I love what Courage said, because so often we do keep score in marriage as we keep score in our faith walk. And he was like, Lord, I received this gift, but I asked for the grace to steward it well. And I think when we pull on that divine power to give him our yes, we tap into something that's so much bigger than we are. And so sticking with Courage's name, which I love, by the way, you know, you have one of your chapters is the yes of the cross. A lot of these yeses require some courage and some grit on our part, but anything we lay down, give up, is met by something so much greater in him. So say a word about not only the courage it takes to give him our yes, but the faithfulness and the abundance of God on the other side.
When your yes starts coming to you, there are things in your life that you will have to release. And the reason you have to release them is, and it took me a long time to understand this because it was really frustrating to me, they are good things. They're things that you hold. There are things that bring meaning to your life, things that you love, and you'll have to let them go. And the reason is, that Jesus requires this is you can either hold on to that or you can hold on to him, but you can't hold on to both. And so when you start releasing these things, there is pain. When you encounter the world that is going against the ministry and message of Christ, then there is pain. But this pain in some ways brings us closer to Christ, because it is in prayer that we go and say, hey, we were hurt here. We were misunderstood. We were persecuted here. And we lay that down with him, and he fills us up again, and we go back out into the world with his love. That is what he taught us, that we encounter the evil of the world, and we absorb it in our own life, and we take it to him in prayer, and we leave it there. And we overcome the evil of the world with the goodness of who he is.
Hmm. Wow. Talking to Pastor Mike Glenn, he's got a new book out, The Gospel of Yes. We may have missed the most important thing about God, and finding it changes everything. That's the subtitle of this book. We got a few copies left to give away. I probably am not going to take any more calls, but I'll take emails. If you can squeeze one in here, Susie@faithradionet.com. If I can, I'll get a question to our guest. We just have a few minutes left. You know, you also write about the mess before the yes, and this seems to be an important part of the process. Talk about that.
people who study language have spent a lot of time studying the word but. And the interesting thing about that word is when it's used in a sentence, we don't hear anything before it. We don't remember anything. So, you know, if you get the Dear John letter, I've really enjoyed dating you, but you don't remember anything.
You're holding your breath. Or you
get fired. We really enjoyed having you working here,
I like you,
so
but.
All of us have, hey, that's great news. I'm glad Jesus loves everybody, but.
Hmm.
You don't know about the mess of my life. You don't know about the mistakes I've made. You know, I wish I'd heard that 20 years ago, but. And there's two interesting things. And sometimes when I teach, I'll tell people, listen, we didn't gather here tonight to hear how bad your life is. We gathered here to talk about the great thing that Jesus did for us. And what we want you to hear out of tonight is that Jesus died on the cross, and no matter what you have done, what mistake you have made, Jesus trumped everything when he died for us and when he was raised from the dead.
Hallelujah.
All of that was trumped. So whatever you think your but is, Jesus has already overcome it.
Yeah.
The second thing is Jesus only wants a place to start.
Very good.
You know, we have all these sad stories about Jesus being born in the manger and how bad it was that the King of Kings was born in the manger. You know, the only person who doesn't complain is Jesus himself, because it was a good enough place to start.
Mm.
You know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Okay,
amen.
That's a good enough place to start.
Yeah, will you take on the mountain? Well, I'm not asking you to do it all today, but will you at least
face it,
you know, and
that's
look
right.
at it? We've got a quick call we're going to squeeze in here. Pat from Detroit Lakes. Bless you, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You have a comment for our guest today?
I do. I am realizing today just how much I have been given in my husband, and I am an encourager to a lot of people. I pray for a lot of people. I pray with a lot of people. And I am realizing that he's one that I don't do that with like I should.
Wow.
I want to do better.
Hon, you hold on just for 1 minute. Pastor, would you pray for her real quick?
I certainly did. I didn't catch her name.
Pat.
Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, it is hard when you catch us and you say, this is who you are. Let's look at it. Let's understand it. And that's an embarrassing and painful moment. We've all had that moment. And I'm praying now for Pat that, one, she will understand that you brought this to her heart now to bring healing to her and to bring hope to her and to bring healing and strength and love to the marriage. That not only are you working in her life, you're working in her husband's life. And so as she deals with this, as she works through the repentance, we pray in a way she'll know and way she'll be sure that she'll understand your forgiveness and be free to live in the new truth of how important it is for her to encourage her husband, and that you will release a new power and a new love as she is obedient to you.
Mm.
We pray this in your name. Amen.
Pat, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for you because you're in him. And God bless you. And you're going to get a book, too. So don't you love how God divinely, you know, we prayed this, Mike, before the show, that God would divinely direct the conversation so that people would receive a word in due season. Well, with just a few minutes left, I'm thinking of the yes that someone's listening to, that they need to use a Brendan Manning phrase, to accept acceptance. They need to take the leap of faith to believe that there's someone God wants at their party. You know what I mean? And he wants them at their... So say a word about that big yes, to trust that I am someone to him, even if the whole world tells me I'm not.
The interesting thing about the story of the creation is that God introduces himself as an artist. And the thing that artists love to do is create. And once they create, they love to show people what they've made. And the most excited that God gets in all of creation is when he makes human beings. And he says, this is really good. And he's so proud, he takes the day off just to look at everything. It's hard for us to understand that when God looks at us, he doesn't say, close enough. You know, when we build stuff or make stuff, we get, that's close enough. But when God sees us, what he sees is what he had in his heart before he made us.
Wow.
And what he wants us to know is what he had in his heart as he was making us, the joyful love that created us. That was lost. And the lie of the world is that you're now an orphan, that you don't have a father. And the thing that Jesus did was create the pathway so that you could come home and find that you are a child, that there's a place at the table for you, that the Father loves you and he knows your name. And not only that, but he made you to work with him, to go about reconciling and redeeming this lost world that we live in.
You know, with a minute we have left before we close in prayer, I'm thinking of that person who has this calling, but they're still growing into it. What are some important things, just a couple pieces of advice that they could remember as they realize that the calling is bigger than they are, but they're walking it out?
That's right. One, Jesus teaches you little things. You get one talent before you get two. Mm-hmm. You get two talents before you get five. And then the most important thing you can do is be faithful where you are. And learn the lessons that are in front of you right now. And when you learn them, then he'll take you to the next step. The other thing is the reward for good work is always hard work, more work.
Wow, I love that.
And so as you get good at this, the next step is going to be much harder.
Yeah. Well done. Enter into this bigger field to plow.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. Yeah. That is great, great wisdom. Well, this has been fabulous, and I really want you to come back because I know you have all kinds of spare time. So.
Oh, I will. I will look forward to that.
So as we wrap up, I know there's at least one, if not many, who are listening going, you know what? I've had it all wrong. I've had a wrong view of God. I've thought of him as a big fist with a big no. And not an open hand with a big yes. And I'm wondering if you pray for that person who's now, just now, getting a renewed view of who God is.
We're glad to. Father, how embarrassed we are, how sad we are that we have missed what you were trying to tell us. But how grateful we are that you are a patient God and a loving Father who kept telling us till we got it. So as we get this great word of yes that you've spoken to us in creation throughout history, ultimately and supremely in your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you would liberate us now to live in the freedom and joy of knowing we are and have the yes from you in our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It's an enjoyable thing to find out who we are in Christ, isn't it?
It is indeed. Mm. It is indeed.
Well, you're a fabulous guest, Mike. Thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you, Sue. I really enjoyed being with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Lord bless you.
You too.
Here's a passage from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Guess what? The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob, he's our fortress. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of this show up on our website at faithradionet.com. While you're there, check out some of our Faith Radio contributors. Boy, we've got some great blogs. There's one by Leslie Vernick about dating violence. You'll want to check that out. And last week we had Greg Speck on the show talking about the same thing. Lots of good stuff there on the website, faithradionet.com. Tune in tomorrow for Live the Promise. I'll have Army Chaplain in studio to talk about life as a soldier, how to pray for our military, and the importance of holding fast to our faith in the midst of a world at war. That's going to be a powerful show. That's tomorrow. And remember to check out my weekly devotional blog this past week. It's about Start Again Today. If you've let go of some of the truths of your identity, start again today. Remind your soul again who you are in him today. If you want to check that out, that's at SusieLarson.com. SusieLarson.com. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.